Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus addresses in this passage that we're going to look at tonight a problem that we are having to deal with in our own society today in ways that we've never dealt with them before, and that is dealing with truth and lies. And God's people should love the truth and hate lies. In 1991, James Patterson Peter Kim wrote a book entitled The Day That America Told the Truth. And in the book, they write, lying has become a cultural trait in America. It is embedded in our national character. Two out of three Americans believe that there's nothing wrong with telling a lie. 91% of Americans admit to lying regularly. And that was 28 years ago. Today, lying has become a part of our culture. And it's even worse, much worse. They're saying that most of us are liars. Some of us may just be occasional liars. We don't like to lie. We don't mean to lie. But every now and then, a lie just sneaks out. And often it's because we get a little too careless with the truth. Some others are pragmatic liars. They're people who lie to get out of trouble or to take advantage of someone else. Some politicians lie to get elected. You all remember some of the read my lips, no new taxes. I'm not sure if he was lying, if he meant well, perhaps. And the same thing with the other one. If you like your health care plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. I really don't think, well, I'd like to believe that he was telling the truth, and it just didn't work out. Or the boy who told his teacher, and all of you have heard that, the dog ate my homework. And then there are Pinocchio liars, people who exaggerate reality and stretch facts so that they can impress people, they can make a point. Pinocchio liars like to use expressions like always, never, all the time, and trust me. And then there are professional liars, people who make a living by lying, and they're usually really good at lies. Professional liars include fortune tellers, astrologers, some salesmen, shop supervisors, mechanics, lawyers, politicians, and even some preachers make a living by lying. And then there are pathological liars. People lie about almost anything. They lie even when they don't have to lie. Pathological liars are compulsive storytellers, and sometimes they believe their own stories. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus takes the mask off of those who love lies and speak lies. He takes the mask off the religious hypocrites who have that tendency to lie and deceive other people. Matthew 5, 33 through 37, on the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord's words, and again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Jesus is saying that the people who belong to God don't need to swear at all. They don't need to swear an oath. They don't need to show that they are telling the truth by swearing an oath. Just tell the truth. Speak the truth. True Christians are committed to speaking the truth. And not only committed to speaking the truth, we're committed to living the truth. So I hope as you pray about this whole issue about truth-telling and lying, Lord, deliver me from all lies. Help me to love the truth. Help me to speak the truth and help me to live the truth. In verse 33, Jesus tells us what the conventional wisdom was when it came to making oaths. And he gives us a little summary statement of what the law of Moses had to say about oaths and vows from texts like Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Numbers 30, verse 2. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears by an oath to bind himself to by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. In other words, swearing an oath was really something very serious and very special. It was a solemn act. In fact, our confession of faith deals with oaths. And in chapter 23, paragraphs 1 and 2, the 1689 London Baptist Confession says, a lawful oath is an aspect of religious worship in which the swearer, having God's truth, justice, and righteousness in view, solemnly calls God to witness what he swears and to judge him according to the truth or falsity of his words. An oath is only lawful when it is taken in the name of God with all holy fear and reverence. So it's appropriate in a court of law for an officer of the court to put witnesses under oath by using these words. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And they say, I do. The problem that Jesus is dealing with here is that the Pharisees taught the people that they needed to avoid using the name of God so that they didn't take the name of the Lord in vain. That's what they were saying. They didn't want to break the third commandment, or that's what they said. Instead of using God's name, the people would swear by Jerusalem, or they swear by heaven, or they swear by heaven and earth, or they would swear by their own head. And so they're trying to get around using the name of the Lord. Why did they need to swear anyhow? Because swearing was a validation of that they were what they were saying was true. You remember some kids back in the day, back in my day, maybe in your day too, we used to say, I don't think I said them. I don't remember correct, but I know that people said them. You remember, I swear on a stack of Bibles? I'm telling you the truth. Or I swear on my dead mother's grave. I'll pay back the money. Or I cross my heart and hope to die. Remember that? I thought it was a long time ago. There were at least two things wrong with this, what the Pharisees were doing. People had become liars in their interactions with one another because they were using silly oaths to cover their deceitfulness. Number two, they purposely tried to leave God out of their interactions so they could lie and get away with it, or so they thought they could get away with it. So they didn't use God's name in it, and they just then lied anyhow. Matthew Henry says on this text, he said, the worse men are, the less they are bound by oaths. The better they are, the less there is a need for them. Verses 34 through 36, Jesus exercises his divine prerogative and teaches these people some basic theology. Jesus told them to stop swearing. Now, he didn't mean that they should never swear an oath or that they should never make a vow. He just told them, stop trying to cover up your oaths and vows and your lies. Stop trying to cover them up with some sacrilegious mumbo jumbo. And that's what they were doing. Jesus was telling them to start thinking more theologically about God. They needed to know that God is greater than their little thoughts. That everything in and out of this world, whether it's the city of Jerusalem or the throne of David or whatever it is, all things belong to God. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everything that's in it. So if you swear by anything on earth or anything in heaven, guess what? You're swearing by God. Whether you use his name or not, you're lying. If you do it to cover up your lie, it makes it double bad and sinful. Just be honest. Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be honest. Tell the truth. Because lying is devilish. You remember that text in John chapter 8? Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he's telling them, you are of your, excuse me, not the Pharisees, but the Jews. There may be some Pharisees there. But he says, you are of your father, the devil. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him when he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. So if you lie, you're acting like the devil. That's a scary thing. I don't want to be like the devil. Lord, deliver me from devilish lies. So, how does all this apply to us? How does these few sentences about oaths and vows, how does it apply to us? Well, it applies to us in some very serious and real ways. First of all of us need to know the real problem. And the real problem is that there is a little liar in every single one of us, and maybe even a big liar. Some of us are guilty of telling, what we used to call little harmless white lies. Lies that don't hurt anybody. At least they're not supposed to hurt anybody. We tell little white lies to keep from getting embarrassed or embarrassing someone else, hurting somebody's feelings. So your wife or your husband asks if they look like they're losing weight. And you say, yes, but really you don't know. You just said yes, you lied, you can't even tell. Instead, just tell the truth. Sweetheart, I can't tell if you lost weight or not, but you haven't lost any love in my sight. I still love you and I don't even care. And forgive me for not being more observant. Just tell the truth. Someone invites you over for dinner and afterward you say to them, well, that was a wonderful meal. Can I get your recipe? And you're on the way home and your husband says, did you really like that meal? Nah, I didn't like it at all. But you didn't want to offend them, so you asked for the recipe. Don't lie. Just tell them you enjoy the fellowship. The fellowship was wonderful. Because Psalm 12, verses 1 and 2, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone to his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart. They speak. There's a difference between being honest, and I need to make this point because there's a difference between being honest and brutally honest. Be brutally honest with yourself. Just be honest with other people. And there's a reason why I say that. The Woodberries I think you remember this. there was a young lady in our church. She was in her late 20s. Oh boy, what a sweet, such a sweet lady. And there was another young lady in our church, and she was a little different. And so after the fellowship, she had a casserole, and she gave it to the one young lady, and she said, would you like this to take this home? And she said, oh, okay. And so she brought it home. Wednesday night or next Sunday, she said, how did you like my casserole? And the lady was brutally honest. More honest than you can imagine. She said, oh, we didn't eat it. My husband gave it to the dogs. So just be brutally honest with yourself, not with other people. Just be honest. Figure out how to, is honest. You can always say thank you or it's different. Harmless little lies can also come in big stories, and almost all of us love to hear or tell big stories. We tell big stories not because we want to deceive people. Maybe we just want to entertain them, or we just want to impress people. So we tell them big stories, but sometimes we exaggerate and stretch the truth so that the story seems to be more impressive. It's more entertaining. Some of us can talk with such an air of confidence and sound so sure of ourselves that people really think that we know what we're talking about when we really don't. I get accused of that all the time at home. Matthew 12:36, here's something to remember. Jesus' words, I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. And so those of us who do a lot of speaking, we give an account for everything we said. So we have the harmless little white lies, so-called harmless. Then we have the hurried, unplanned lies, saying what's not true because we didn't have time or we didn't take time to think through the whole thing. How am I going to respond to this? And before we know it, a lie just comes right out. You remember Peter, after Jesus was arrested in the garden, he followed the mob to the courtyard of the high priest, and the slave girl looked at him and said, you're one of that man's disciples. And Peter began to curse and to swear, and he said, no, I don't know the man. Came right out. The boss is out of town, and without notice or warning, he calls you. He's on vacation somewhere, fishing or something, or she, and calls you and says, hey, how's that project going that I gave you? And out of your mouth comes, yeah, it's all right. I'm doing it. It's coming along all right. And yet you don't even know what project the person is talking about. It just comes right out. I know. I'm doing it. I'm getting it done. Some of us are guilty of telling helpful, practical lies. Lies to help us get out of trouble, to help us or help someone else get what we want. And there's lots of examples of that in the scriptures. Abraham lied to King Abimelech, telling him, Sarah's my sister. And she lied too. Because Abraham told her to. Why? Because Abraham said that the king will kill me for my beautiful wife. Yet she's very old. Jacob lied to his father Isaac so that he could get his brother's blessing. Jacob's sons lied and told him that Joseph was dead when they sold him into slavery. David lied to Ahimelech, the priest, to get some food and a sword. And the end result was Saul killed all of the priests. Salmon tells one of his customers, yeah, your order will be shipped out in less than a week. And he knows that it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks. But he can't say 2 or 3 weeks because he says 2 or 3 weeks, he might lose the contract or the order. Proverbs 20:17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward, his mouth will be filled with gravel. When's the last time you put gravel in your mouth? It doesn't taste very good. Proverbs 21:6, getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 4, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Some of us are guilty of hateful, I hope not, but some people are guilty of hateful, hurtful, malicious lies to deceive people in order to hurt them or to cheat them or to get back at them. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Potiphar's wife lied, and she said Jacob tried to lie with her. And he got into trouble. Herod lied to the Magi when he said, tell me where he is, this child, and because I want to go worship him. But he wanted to kill him. The chief priests and the elders sought false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. So there are these hateful, hurtful, malicious lies. So what's the solution for our lying? My lying and your lying. What's the solution for our lying? Well, the first solution is become a lie hater and a truth lover. Become a lie hater and a truth lover. Proverbs 13:5, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Psalm 119, verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Ephesians 4:15 and 25, speaking the truth in love. Therefore, putting away lying, let every man speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Why should we hate lying and love the truth? Because God hates lying and he loves the truth. God hates lying. Proverbs 6:16 and 17. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, a false witness who speaks lies, one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates it. We should hate it. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Become a lie hater and a truth lover, because lying is contrary to God's nature. He's a holy God. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and the everlasting King. In his wrath, the earth will tremble, and all the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why should we hate lies and love truth? Because lying is a mark of wicked heart. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray soon as they're born, speaking lies. Speaking of the wicked in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So, what's the solution to our lying? Lord, help me to love the truth. Help me to love the truth and hate lies. Secondly, pray for deliverance. Psalm 120, verses 2 and 3. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, O? What shall be done to you, you false tongue? And ask the Lord to save you from the tendencies that you have that promote lying. Tendency number one, to be proud. Proud people lie. Many times we lie because our proud hearts want to look good and sound good and avoid looking bad. Another tendency is the fear of man, being afraid of what someone might say or do or think about us if we tell them the truth. So we're inclined to lie. You know, one of the things I think is for parents, we need to make it easy for our children to be truthful. Some of us have made the mistake of being very harsh when they lied. And what that does is they have a lying heart. They just keep on lying because they don't want to get in trouble. Sometimes we provoke our children to lie by making them so fearful of us. We need to teach our children to tell the truth even when it hurts. And when they do, somehow figure out, how can I reward them for telling the truth, even when they did something wrong? Ask the Lord to save you from the tendency to be proud, to fear man, and to speak without thinking. Lord, help me to be more thoughtful and careful with my words. Proverbs 15, verse 2 and 28. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Proverbs 13, 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Ecclesiastes 5, 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Become a lie hater and a truth lover. Pray for deliverance. Thirdly, do what is right. Do right. The Puritan Richard Baxter says in his directory, he says, commit not the fault that needs a lie. Avoiding is much better than hiding it. The best way to avoid lying is to be innocent. Truth and honesty do not blush, nor desire to be hid. So do what's right. And then fourthly, remember something that's so important. Liars, people who practice lying, will not go to heaven. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 27, but there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Very serious stuff. Especially in the day in which we live. One of the ways that the Lord has dealt with me in this is that I'm to be a bearer of truth as a minister of the gospel. And how important it is that I tell the truth, and yet there's these tendencies that I have, and we all have, and to not be so careful. We need to be more careful. Any thoughts or comments? I'm finished. Yeah. So Peter's walking in there. He said, you're one of them. You're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. You know, that comes right out. He didn't think about it. He just come right out. Of course, that was the one to go after because he hardly thought about things before he said them. And some of us are that way. It's easy to get us to lie. And what? Yep, we may not mean to do that. Anybody else? Oh, may we love the truth and hate lies. Amen. Let's pray.